This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Well, you wake up in the morning. You hear the work bell ring. And I march you to the table. You see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon the table. There's no fork up in the pan. But you better not complain, boy. You get in trouble with the man.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a ever-loving light on me.
Oh, yeah. Midnight Special, holy Toledo. Good morning, we're back. Not like a bad penny, we're back like a good penny. Good morning. And welcome back to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am back, Ed Davis is back. We got the lights on, we got power, we got air conditioning, we got everything you need. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. So much going on. We're going to be talking about what happened here. We had a double whammy in Tampa Bay, did we not? Helene and then Milton. But we're back and we're stronger than ever. In a few minutes, Trita Parsi of the Quincy Institute will be here. We're going to talk to Trita about President Biden's decision. Listen to this. His decision to deploy American troops into Israel. Now, is that a good idea? Or is that something that might end up with disastrous consequences? We'll talk with Trita about that. And Kamala Harris sits down with Fox News tonight in a half-hour interview with the network's Brett Baer. Meantime, this morning, Donald Trump, he's on Fox. He's doing an all-female town hall in Cumming, Georgia, with Harrison Faulkner, all-female. We'll talk about both of those people and their last-minute efforts as Election Day approaches. Stay tuned for that. And Gallup poll releases its latest survey results on how Americans feel about the dear blessed media. We will give you all of the latest numbers, all of the juicy results. Stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10. Hey, we're so delighted to have our top 10 back, are we not? How about this? The top 10 dumbest dog breeds. Maybe you own one. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works. We are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Hey, guys, after all of this trouble here in Tampa Bay, your hair was still growing. You got to go over to the barbershop, best barbershop in Tampa Bay for my money, Andrew's Master Barbershop, Overcash Plaza, Dunedin. Please call first. Get your appointment set up. They are open, by the way, Tuesdays through Fridays, 9 to 5, Saturdays, 9 to 2. Here's the number, 727-733-3773. Ed, you got all kinds of trees that you have a problem with right now? Well, I've got a company for you that will come and clear it out and give you a great price. Arbor Life Tree Service, Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Whether it's tree removal, enhancement, stump grinding, whatever it, if it has to do with the tree, Arbor Life. Call Arbor Life today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, Ed Davis, the last show we did was Monday of last week.
Yep.
And since then, a whole lot of shaking's been going on around Tampa Bay. Now, I drove in, and I must say, everything looks pretty decent right around here. Now, let our listeners know that we're not that far from the intercoastal here.
Nope.
So, your thought on everything we've gone through?
Well, like you said, it was two different things that happened. We were pulling up our pants from Helene, which was basically a storm that introduced us to what storm surge really is. And we've never felt that before, at least not in a long time. And then through that comes Milton, which was a lot of wind, some damage, and electricity going out like I've never seen it before. And I know that a lot of linemen, electrical linemen, were brought in from around the country, but it took time because when you go down Olmerton Road at midnight and you can't tell where you're at because it's so dark and there's no businesses lit, and you roll up on Belcher Road and the intersection and you have no idea where you're at.
It's a nightmare.
It was incredible. It's like going down a country road with not a light and the moon to save you. It'd be different if maybe the moon was out, but it was such a darkness I'd never seen before, and the amount of power that was out in the area.
I can tell you from personal experience, because 5 days of no power at my place.
Yep.
Thank goodness for some wonderful neighbors. In fact, they are connected to Arbor Life Tree Service. Roy and Nikki had a second generator.
Yeah.
I was able to cop that second generator and turn on my lights and get my refrigerator going and get my air conditioning. I was so grateful to them.
You know, in the old days, we just worried about what was in the fridge going bad. Now it's like, you know, you couldn't go to work. You couldn't do the show because you couldn't get online. You couldn't
get
do
online.
This. And it's
couldn't print anything.
So it makes you think that, you know what? During the off season, those generators drop in price, and there's going to be a lot of generators out there that people are going to sell after their lights came back on.
You think they'll sell them?
Oh, yeah. A lot of them. Okay. A lot. I bet half of them will.
No kidding.
But one guy told me, he said, be careful of some of these generators that are out there. They've been underwater.
Yeah, that's a point.
Got to be careful.
I would be very concerned about buying one secondhand from somebody, unless I knew it worked.
Unless it was still under warranty. Because if you buy something brand new and you only keep it, you know, if you bought it for $800 and you're looking to get $500 or $600 for it, still under warranty, good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal. But don't buy something that's got duct tape all over it.
That's
you
right.
Know?
Yeah, you got to. I'll tell you, though, and years ago we had a storm. I don't remember which one it was. It came by. It was close. It didn't hit us directly. But our power, same place I was living, went off almost a week, almost as long as this one, for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no direct power. And the very, I guess, frustrating thing was there was a convoy of Duke trucks that would park overnight in the Duke Field, which is near my house, and I could see all the trucks.
Right.
And I thought, I could walk over there and talk to them,
right.
But I got no power here. Why can't they come over and flip?
Yeah, it's
very, you know, they're busy.
Yeah, I heard it's really where you live and what you're close to. In other words, if you're close to a hospital, your lights are going to come
exactly
on.
That's exactly right.
But, you
that's
know,
right.
it takes time.
That's exactly it. I have a friend, in fact, that told me they lived close to either a water treatment plant or something to do with utility.
Right.
And their power got on like one day later. They got it on right away, you know. So anyway, we're delighted to be back. We missed talking to you folks. Thank you very much for being with us. We've always appreciated you being around. And we're going to be back to normal, and it's great to come back to work. And, you know, you really appreciate all of the things that we have today. And it makes you think about, let's say, 100 years ago, or more than that, when they didn't even have all of these things, like here in Florida,
yeah.
with the air conditioning that we have,
mm-hmm.
obviously with the you know, the media, none of that.
Now,
just imagine life, you know, at that time. We have to really appreciate the times we live in.
During the time your power was out, how many times did you walk into a dark room and go for the light switch?
I did it at least two or three. And I was trying hard not to do it, but I still did it.
I know somebody that flicked it twice before they realized.
Yes. It's just force of habit. I'm telling you, force of habit. Okay, enough about that. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Trina Parsi of the Quincy Institute will be here. I'm going to talk with him about President Biden's decision to deploy American troops to Israel.
Okay. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If you've been listening to our Freedom Works radio show, you know I've been bragging for years about what I call the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. Why do I say that? Well, because three generations of Sorace's worked there. Andrew, his daughter Candy, and now his grandson Michael. Expert haircutters, and at a super price as well. So give them a try, men. They're back to their regular hours, Mondays through Fridays, 9 to 5, and Saturdays, 9 to 2. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Wednesday. Delighted to be here. Delighted to be anywhere, but delighted to be back here at the radio station. And delighted to have back Trita Parsi, who is an executive vice president at the Quincy Institute. And the full name is the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. And we're going to talk with Trita about Joe Biden's decision to deploy some American troops into Israel. That sounds a little dangerous. Trita, welcome back. So tell me, why is Joe Biden all of a sudden making a decision to send, what was it, about 100 or so American troops into Israel?
This is an extremely dangerous decision. We are sending American troops into a war zone, into another country's war. And everything the Biden administration has done so far, despite the fact that they've said that they don't want to see any escalation, they do not want to see a widening of the war, because a widening of the war would likely pull the U.S. into that war. And at least nominally, the Biden administration recognizes that the last thing we need is another war in the Middle East. Yet what they have done is to constantly rush to Israel's defense whenever Israel needlessly decides to escalate. And by that, they're reducing the cost for Israel to escalate, which makes it much more likely that they will escalate.
Yes.
If we actually wanted them to prevent the escalation, we should be making it very clear. We're here to defend you, but not if you're escalating, because then you are dragging us into war, and we don't want to be dragged into this war.
Yeah. I tend to agree with your feeling about putting our troops out there. What happens if, God forbid, they're killed or something happens, something blows up, whatever? Now we've got pressure on Biden to do something about that.
Exactly. This is the thing. Once you put the troops in the line of fire, you're gambling with their lives. And given what the Iranians have shown their capacity to be, because they have managed to strike Israel several times now, and they have penetrated Israel's air defense. And we don't know whether they will be able to do so with Assad, but I think we can at least recognize that there's a significant risk that they will be able to penetrate even then. And if they then hit the air defenses and kill 20, 30 American soldiers, then there's going to be massive pressure on Biden, that now you have to do something about that. And then we get further pulled into the war, which is precisely why you shouldn't take this first step in the first place, because it's so clear that once you've taken this step, you are essentially putting yourself on a path towards a full-scale war in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. You do go on to say in a piece that you wrote about this decision is that the mythology in Washington that Israel is a critical ally to the U.S. because it amplifies American powers has been completely shattered. Why would you? What exactly do you mean by that, Trita?
Well, one of the arguments as to why Israel is such a valuable ally of the United States, and I just want to be clear, I'm not arguing that the United States should not have a good relationship with Israel. But the idea that it amplifies American power, I think, has been shattered over the course of the last year. Because we've seen that Israel actually does not have the capability of waging its own war against Hezbollah, against Hamas, without massive, massive American financial and military support. The Biden administration has given roughly altogether about $21 billion to Israel since October 7th. That's twice the size of Iran's entire military budget. And despite all of that, we have now also had to put the fat in Israel because clearly all of the investment in the Iron Dome, Arrow 1, 2, 3, David Sling, Patriots, are not sufficiently strong to be able to stop Iranian missiles. So instead of actually amplifying American power, this war that Israel is conducting and escalating is consuming American power, while at the same time really damaging our standing on the global stage.
What about the way that Israel itself has been responding now to Iran and the possibility that they may, in some way, shape, or form, hit Iranian military sites? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the Biden administration has suggested to the Israelis to only strike military sites, again, because they believe that that will reduce the risk of escalation. Instead of doing what the Israelis want to do, which is to strike Iran's economic infrastructure, particularly the oil installations, as well as its nuclear program. Now, the Israelis know very well they cannot strike effectively the nuclear program or the oil installations without American involvement. So they're not suggesting that they would do it. They're suggesting that they would do it together with us. The Biden administration, in my view, correctly has said no to that. But saying, hey, it's okay, just go strike the military side, is a bit of a delusion to think that that is not going to lead to further escalation.
Mm-hmm.
If you truly want to stop the escalation, stop the fighting. And the Israelis are the ones who escalated this. They're the ones who attacked the Iranian consulate in Damascus, which is a complete violation of international law. They assassinated the Hamas political head in Tehran on the day of the inauguration of the Iranian president. They're the ones who are now invading Lebanon and telling UN peacekeepers to get out of the way. Their job is to actually be there to make sure that there isn't war. This is a massive escalation, and you cannot tell the Israelis, it's okay for you to start World War III, just start it a little bit. You either start it or you don't start it.
Well, some would argue that this is a retaliation for Hezbollah's attacks, for Iran engineering all of these attacks, and obviously for the original October the 7th attack on Israel that started all of this most recent, you know, conflict. What should Israel do? I mean, how many hostages does Hamas still have? How many are alive? I mean, what is the pathway to peace on this, Trita? It seems so complex right now.
Well, I actually don't think it's that complex. I think it's quite clear. The pathway to peace is not war. That should be very clear. On the issue of responding to Hezbollah or to Iran, the Iranians were not masterminding any of this. The U.S. intelligence itself has been clear on that. When it comes to the fight between Hezbollah and Israel, up until the assassination of the head of Hezbollah, Nasrallah, up until that point, 83% of the exchange of fire came from Israel, not from Hezbollah. So it's been an overwhelming attack from the Israelis. Yes, the Hezbollah had attacked Israel.
Well, Hezbollah started that. Hezbollah launched...
Well, no. The Hezbollah and Israel had been in a constant, a low-scale exchange of fire even before October 7th.
Well, yes.
Hezbollah escalated that, undoubtedly. Yes, you're absolutely correct. They escalated that.
Yes, they certainly
after
have. And you have to admit that Israel needed to respond to those rockets that came pouring in from the north.
So, but when Israel accounts for 83% of all of the attacks, then I think you can rest assured that Israel already has responded.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need then to use Hezbollah's initial action earlier on to justify a land invasion, which we're seeing now, based on what happened a couple of days after October 7th last year. I mean, Israel has been bombarding Lebanon throughout all of this. 83% of all of the exchange of fire is coming from the Israeli side. So you can't do what the Israelis do is that they point to an early attack and then they justify everything they've done for an entire year, including constant escalation based on that. That just doesn't hold up. That's not to say that Israel didn't have a right to respond initially, but we're way past that point.
We're talking with Trita Parsi. He is the executive vice president of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. We're talking about the decision by President Biden to deploy American troops to Israel, about 100 of them. They're called the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense System to Israel. I don't exactly know what the point of this is, putting these 100 troops in harm's way. Do you think, Trita, because Joe Biden is what might be called a lame duck president, that he might be doing things he would not do if he was still running?
I think there's a lot to be said about how Biden is handling things right now. But this latest step, unfortunately, is not an exception to the pattern that we've seen in the last year. It is completely compatible with it, which is the Israelis want to escalate fast, and the Biden administration asked them, just escalate slowly. But there's escalation nevertheless.
Mm-hmm.
And that escalation drags us closer and closer and closer to being pulled into this war. Even though that's what the Biden administration says that it doesn't want. Well, if it doesn't want it, don't make it easier for the Israelis to escalate. Don't make it easier for them to drag us into this war. The Biden administration has put forces into the region. In fact, 40% of our Navy essentially is in the Persian Gulf Mediterranean region right now. And that has been to deter the Iranians and Hezbollah from doing further escalation.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But you can't only do that while then at the same time facilitating the Israelis to escalate, because that completely defeats the purpose. If you don't want to see escalation, you got to make sure that neither side escalates.
Okay, let me ask you this. You mentioned or inferred, I think, that maybe Iran is not pulling as many strings on what Hezbollah and possibly Hamas, et cetera, are doing. And yet Israel seems to think it is Iran that is the puppet master here, and therefore, you know, their decision to consider going after Iran. Do you think that Israel should back down from any kind of an Iranian confrontation?
Well, I think, first of all, it's absolutely true that the Iranians have been arming and training both Hamas and Hezbollah, and they've also been supporting the Houthis. There's no doubt about that. That's very different from saying that they're pulling the strings. The United States is training half the armies in the world. Every coup you have seen in Africa in the last 2 years have been conducted by some of the groups that have conducted those coups. Some of them have been trained by the United States. If we follow that logic, that means that the United States is responsible for all of those coups. I don't think that's correct. But it's absolutely true. They have been training this. But our own intelligence shows that the Iranians were completely surprised by the October 7th attack. Now, the Israelis correctly view Iran as their main rival in the region. But what they're also seeing is that they have, in their view, and I'm quoting the former prime minister, the best opportunity in 50 years. He wrote this on Twitter, to really escalate and start a war with Iran that would drag the U.S. into it. Because the Israelis cannot fight Iran on their own. Frankly, they have failed to completely defeat Hamas after a year. They cannot in any way, shape, or form take on Iran on their own. Their only chance of doing so is if they drag the U.S. into that war. Now when you have a president as Biden that has been bending backwards, over backwards for them, they see an opportunity to expand the war and drag the U.S. into it, because obviously the U.S. is way more powerful. And the U.S. definitely can defeat Iran. But we have to remind ourselves, what is our interest? We defeated Saddam Hussein in 3 weeks. Did that at the end of the day help us? It created a quagmire in the region. We got stuck there 10, 15 years. We got stuck in Afghanistan for 20 years. It completely depleted much of our wealth, killed so many of our people. And at the end of the day, after spending $2 trillion, we changed the government in Afghanistan from the Taliban to the Taliban. I would argue that we have a clear interest of staying out of this.
It's such a mess. And I just don't see I don't see a way that we're moving towards a settlement on this. But Trita Parsi, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so very much for your time and your thoughts on this.
My pleasure.
Yes, sir. And we look forward to chatting with you again down the road.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
Talk to you soon.
All right, Trita. Trita Parsi.
You realize Trump's first day in office, he's going to say, all right, everybody, out of the pool.
Yes. I want to see that. Also in Russia, right? Let's end that one at the same time. Okay, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, as promised, Kamala Harris sitting down with what? Fox News? Bret Baier? That I got to see. That'll be tonight for about a half an hour. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Trump going on Fox this morning. Talk with an all-female town hall.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If you've been listening to our Freedom Works radio show, you know I've been bragging for years about what I call the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. Why do I say that? Well, because three generations of Sorace's worked there. Andrew, his daughter Candy, and now his grandson Michael. Expert haircutters, and at a super price as well. So give them a try, men. They're back to their regular hours, Mondays through Fridays, 9 to 5, and Saturdays, 9 to 2. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. And if your land has been affected by Hurricane Helene or Hurricane Milton, don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Freedom Works. It's Wednesday. All's right with the world again, at least in Tampa Bay. Things are settled down. I feel bad for those people in North Carolina, all of those people that are still missing. That is just such devastating news. We pray for all of them. I don't know how many people from Helene in North Carolina have died now, but isn't it over 200 or so?
I was watching some video that people took, like, they lived close to a river, and they're like, oh, we got 20 feet to go. We're fine, you know. And then they took more video and more, and they got closer and closer. Next thing you know, their house was ripped away, and what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and that river is so fast.
It's, I mean, people don't realize the strength. Yeah. I mean, you're like a toothpick in Niagara Falls.
Look what it does to buildings when it gets in the middle.
Yeah, you're like a toothpick in Niagara Falls. You got to get away from it. You can't be there.
I don't think they took it serious.
Right. There's always a few that don't. Yes. Or the water's not going to hit me. Anyway, we are back, and hey, we've got both Sorace's. Boy, it's been a long time since we've been talking with them here on the show. Both Andrew, the master barber, is with us, and our eye of the northern sky, the guy that's been up there in the north in Rochester, New York. He's not very close to all of the trouble that we've had, but hey, guys, welcome. We got some interesting things going on today. First of all, let's talk about Kamala Harris. She's going to go on Fox News tonight for almost a half an hour. Now, they're going to pre-tape it around 5 p.m. Eastern time, and then the show that Bret Baier does at 6 o'clock on Fox, they're going to air it. So anybody that wants to watch it, I suggest you get over to your TV by 6, because I think they're going to do it early in the Bret Baier hour broadcast.
First thing I'd say is give me those earrings.
and then sweep
her for any
any devices. Okay, all right. So she can't be given any feedback while she's responding. So let me start with Angelo up north. Angelo, what say you? Are you going to be watching Kamala Harris and Bret Baier tonight?
I've got a meeting tonight for the Knights of Columbus, but I'm taping it.
Okay. I knew you'd want to watch it.
Oh, absolutely. The first question I would ask is, when did you know that President Biden was incapable of being president of the United States, right?
Yeah.
And why did you lie? And why did you lie to us, to the American public, that he was in A1 shape, he was this, he was that?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the first question I'd ask.
Okay.
The second question I'd ask is, why are you trying to copy everything that President Trump wants to do? All of a sudden you're changing your message.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes, I do.
I would ask all those questions. I would not, and follow up on those questions, you know, and ask her again, are you a Marxist? And tell us the truth.
Well, she's going to say no to that one. She'll just say flat out, no, I'm not a Marxist. I'm a capitalist. And then, of course, Bret Baier would have to, you know, come back and say,
let's remember, you have to be respectful, even though, you know, she's gotten away with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to be respectful and show that you can do this
and
interview
do it
again.
Yes.
I mean, we have to do that with athletes, too. We can't just say, hey, ding dong, why the hell did you drop the ball?
No,
you know?
No, I understand. You got to respect the office.
Of course.
Absolutely. I learned that from the first thing I was in the military. You respect the office.
Sure you do. Andrew, you and I spoke off mic about this interview, but I think Bret Baier will do a very good, thorough job, and this is, I think, will be the best test of Kamala Harris before somebody that's going to really drill down into her responses.
Paul,
go ahead.
You know, you and I both have a difference of opinion of Bret Baier. But anyway.
Yes, we do.
Anyway, the first question I think I would ask her, did you see her interview with Champilio the God yesterday?
Yeah, I did.
Go ahead, yes.
Did you see when she sat there and said, Donald Trump is going to put anybody that doesn't look white in concentration camps? If he was going to do that, why didn't he do it 8 years ago?
Wait a second, wait. Did Kamala Harris say that?
Yeah.
Kidding.
Yes.
What is going on with her little brain?
Immigrants, she talks about immigrants that way.
Immigrants.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was it that she actually said about that? Did she say...
She said anybody that doesn't resemble white will be put in camps. Okay. Now, if he was going to do that, he would have done that 7-8 years ago.
Of course.
Why didn't they ask? He needs to ask her, okay, how come you're going to change the economy? You're going to make it better? How come you're going to secure the border? Why didn't you do that yet?
Don't you think he's going to ask that?
No, I think he's going to be lame on her, to be honest with you.
Really?
I told you that yesterday.
I don't
think Bret Baier is the one.
I think he is. I think he's going to be a terrific interviewer.
I think
we'll
he kind of pulls the liberal side a little bit myself.
I mean, there are things that you can ask her, like, listen, the Democrats have been in command of the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. How do you blame what's going on right now, 4 years of Trump, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Because we can. That'll be her answer.
You know, and then another thing, too, is that she came out over the weekend and said, I guess there was some point where Trump was dancing to some song, and Kamala Harris said, well, from what I've seen, it seems to me he's losing his mind and blah, 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 blah. And I thought we went through the whole thing with the press secretary, John Paul Jones, believing that any video you saw of Biden was all doctored. You remember that?
Yeah.
All the doctored videos and falling asleep and stuff?
Now, you're reminding me of the 60 Minutes interview that Kamala Harris did, and apparently 60 Minutes was caught doctoring that interview. Even doctoring the interview on 60 Minutes, Kamala Harris came off, I don't think, really well.
No.
You know?
Look, she's imploding, guys. The whole Democrat Party is imploding. Look, they pulled out Barack Obama. Did you see him?
Yes.
Did you see him try to convince the black men they got to vote for Kamala?
Yeah,
did you see this morning?
All he's going to get out of that is a bunch of black men saying, don't tell me what to think.
That's right. Now, did you see them this morning on Fox in the black barbershop?
No.
They got a black barber poll. I got news for you. I think it's up in Chicago.
Probably.
And they were interviewing all these black guys in the barbershop, and they were putting Kamala Harris down so bad it was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, she singled them out, and she said she talks about the black businesses, and she said, I'm not talking about just the barbershops.
No. Do you see, too, she wants to put up $1 million to help the black entrepreneurs. She wants to give them $20,000 apiece cash to make sure they get... That sounds like a little discrimination to me. Where's my money?
Absolutely. And it's, you know what? It's unconstitutional. You can't do that.
Of course.
You can't single out certain individuals. It goes against the whole idea of civil rights when you're taking one group and favoring it over another. So that's going nowhere. She knows it's going nowhere. She's just saying it. She's just saying, I'm going to promise all these goodies. Just vote for me. I promise.
Yeah, Paul, it's not working. They're imploding, and people know it.
Yeah.
They are imploding. You saw the odds in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The odds in Las Vegas, as a matter of fact, are going Trump's way. He's got something like a 60-something percent to a 30%
to
win it. It's very positive if you believe in odds makers.
That's your real pull. That's your real pull, buddy. That's where the money is.
Hey, I want to get in. Let me ask Angelo this also. I want to get in the fact that Donald Trump will be on an all-female town hall. It's starting in 15 minutes, also on Fox. What's her name? Harris Faulkner.
Harris Walker.
Is the host of the show. That'll be an interesting show. That's coming out of Georgia. So Georgia's sort of the center point right now. And Georgia, of course, is a key state.
Swing state.
Yeah. A very swing state. We got Georgia, we got Michigan, we got Wisconsin, we got Pennsylvania, we got Arizona, and I think we got Nevada. Now,
Trump is ahead in all of them.
And I don't know if he's ahead in every. You know, it depends on the poll, but it is so close, it could not be. If you believe in the polls, it is like, it is so close, it's almost impossible to get closer.
Well, they had 300,000 ballots cast yesterday in early voting.
Yeah.
And that's a record, because in 2020, they had 100,000 at this time.
Okay, now, is that in Georgia?
That's in Georgia.
Okay, yeah, early voting.
Mm-hmm. And one of the judges, you know, because the Georgia legislature passed that they would have to do a hand count on the ballots and everything, right?
And the judge said, you can't do that.
You can't do that. Since when does a judge get involved in election laws? Like I said before, that's not their function. Only the state legislature passes laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these judges just somehow get involved.
It does become a concern of being political. But sometimes when the election board is basically taken to court because somebody thinks that they're doing something that is discriminatory or not legal. You know, you are allowed to do that. Now, the judge, it's hard for a judge. I mean, at this point, how are you going to change things that much? We're about 3 weeks away, two and a half weeks away. Go ahead.
The judge look at the Department of...
Go ahead.
Look at the Department of Justice trying to sue, and was it Virginia or West Virginia, for taking off non-citizens off the voting rolls, and the Department of Justice is trying to take them to court? It's in the Constitution.
Yeah.
You have to be a citizen to vote. Why are you even taking it to court?
Yeah. No, it's a mess. It's political. That's why. Because the Department of Justice is under the Biden administration. That's
it's
why.
Not, the people should be smart to this.
Of course
they are.
Of course they should.
Well, you know, even like in Georgia, you know, the judge, he rules that that's not right. You can't do that. He has no business, you know, even saying that. He should just rule and say, look, the state legislature passed this law. It's a law of the state. They're the ones that make the laws for election. How can you say, why would somebody even file a lawsuit to say that it's against the Constitution?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. The Constitution says that each state shall, you know, legislate laws for election, states' rights.
Mm-hmm.
And then these judges get involved in that stuff. It's no business getting involved in election laws. And then they wonder why Trump said he didn't want to debate Kamala Harris. Heck, they've had all these voting. The states are voting early ahead of time already.
In fact, here in Florida, I've already sent my ballot in. We have mail-in voting. I sent my ballot in a couple of days ago. I'm not big on it, though. I would rather force the issue and go back to the precinct voting, because you know what's going to happen, guys. You know this. We're going to have weeks and weeks of waiting in some of these battleground states as to whether or not Trump or Kamala won it.
Right. That's because...
That's what I worry about. Remember Arizona 4 years ago? Do you remember Maricopa County?
Yeah.
How long it took for us to find out?
Why would it take weeks? It's never taken weeks other than the last election.
The mail-in voting problem. That's it.
Well, first of all,
they hadn't gotten their act together, and I don't think they're going to get their act together on mail-in voting across the country this time either.
When I do my mail-in ballot, I do not put it in the mail. I take it to the drop box in the government offices where I have two people standing guard by the thing.
Yeah,
I would not trust my mailman, who wears a mask for the last 4 years, that are all backing Kamala Harris, to carry my ballot and take it somewhere. I'd have to look at my dumpster when he pulled out the parking lot.
Yeah, well, and I think, again, this speaks to going back to precinct voting, because we can't seem to trust our own post office. Even if they're not trying to be dishonest, you know, things get screwed up.
Well, they've taken the integrity of our election and just tossed it down the drain by doing all this stuff they've done. You want to do early voting? You do it a day ahead of time at your precinct, right? Like it used to be.
Fair enough.
And then have election day, have it as a national holiday. And that's it. Just like a Columbus Day or Veterans Day.
Mm.
You just have that day off, and you go and vote.
What's the matter with Saturday?
What's that?
Make it a Saturday. I don't think it needs to be a holiday.
Yeah, whatever day.
Okay, but you're both agreeing that the integrity of the ballot will be a lot better
if
you go physically to a place.
Sure, of course. You hand deliver it, of course.
Once you fill out your ballot, you can put it in the box, and you see that it's gotten into the box.
I've often wondered why, with everything we've got now, you know, when you go buy something at AutoZone, they want your email address so they can send you stuff. I want to know why, when you fill your ballot out, why, you know, if you've got an email address, you put it on there, you could go to the National Register and see your name pop up and with your email address and see that your vote counted as a Republican or a Democrat.
Yeah. Here's the only problem with that, and I agree with that, if it could work. Every state has its own rules, and there's no single it, you know. But I tend to agree with you. You just need to know that your ballot's being counted.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, guys, always a pleasure. I know. Quickly, Andrew, are you going to be watching your buddy Brett Baer and
oh, yeah, you know I'm going to be watching it just so I can call you and tell you I was right.
I know you are. By the way, a shout out to you. You helped me during the blackout, and I am indebted to you. You're always a thoughtful guy, and you proved it once again. So I thank you for that.
No problem. You know that. No problem, buddy.
Oh, it was great.
I'm glad you have a good day. Dodge that bullet over there.
Oh,
you know?
Thank you, Angelo. Thanks. Thanks, Andrew, both of you. We'll talk.
I was calling Andy all the time to make sure that you know,
yes,
the
you
guys
were.
Were
yeah.
doing safe.
I know
you were. I was always asking about you. And
yeah, I know you called me ahead of time, even before it hit. Anyway, thanks, buddy.
Take care, guys.
All right, you too. All right, going to take our break. When we come back, Gallup has released this latest poll on how Americans feel about the media. We'll give you all the juicy results.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If you've been listening to our Freedom Works radio show, you know I've been bragging for years about what I call the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. Why do I say that? Well, because three generations of Sorace's worked there. Andrew, his daughter Candy, and now his grandson Michael. Expert haircutters, and at a super price as well. So give them a try, men. They're back to their regular hours, Mondays through Fridays, 9 to 5, and Saturdays, 9 to 2. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. And if your land has been affected by Hurricane Helene or Hurricane Milton, don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We're on a Wednesday. And by the way, we're here when there's no big hurricane nearby. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. But if you can't listen live, Big Ed, bless him, puts all our shows on the website. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on that podcast button. Opens up. There's all the shows. Okay, I want to real quickly mention that Americans continue to register record low trust in the media. 31% expressing a great deal or fair amount of confidence. That leaves about 60-some percent that think they're doing a bad job. It is similar to last year's 32% of confidence in the media. And this has been going on for a long time when Gallup has been doing these polls. For the third consecutive year, more U.S. adults have no trust at all in the media. 36% zero trust in the media. Then trust in a great deal or a fair amount. Another 33% expressed not very much. So you combine 36 and 33, you got 69%. So there you go.
And I think over the weekend, it was J.D. Vance schooled ABC News' Martha Raddatz when she said the apartment complex is being taken over by Venezuela. It's only a handful. And he actually said, do you actually hear yourself? Only a handful?
It's exactly. Unless he really did put her in her place.
Unless your family member is in that thing, then
that's
it's not
right.
A handful.
You know? There you go. Exactly right. Real quickly, we've missed sports for a long time, but we got the Lightning going.
Yep.
We got the baseball playoffs going. We got the Bucks. Any comment at all on
Lightning are 2-0. The first home game last night.
Oh, good.
And
all right.
the baseball playoffs are going, and the Bucks really took it to the Saints, 51-27 I think it was.
Wow, that's
good
news.
They really ripped them.
All right. And that's good news. All right, Ed. It's time for our top 10, and these are this comes from Dogster.com. The top 10 dumbest dog breeds. All right. So here we go. Number 10. Hey, that was a short drum roll, by the way. Much better second time around. The Basset Hound is number 10.
Really?
Yeah. I always like Basset Hounds. They seem so, I don't know, easygoing. All right, number 9. The Mastiff. The Mastiff.
They're a big, burly dog.
Big dog. They can be kind of scary sometimes. Number 8. The Beagle? I always thought the Beagles were smart.
Yeah,
I guess they're not.
They're hunting dogs, aren't they?
Yeah, that's why I would think that they were somewhat intelligent.
Well, they can sniff, and that's about it.
How about this one? Number 7. The Pekingese. The Pekingese.
That's one of those handheld, yappy little dogs.
Yeah, those little guys.
I don't like those things.
I guess, why are they called that? I guess they come from Peking, China?
Yeah, maybe.
That's it. Okay, number 6. Speaking about smell dogs, the Bloodhound is number 6.
Yeah.
But they're so good.
They're
finding
floppy ears, yeah, but that's all they do. You know?
I guess so.
They can't get out of their own way, but they can find things.
One trick pony. All right. Number 5. And I'm not sure what this one looks like. The Borzoi?
No, I don't know.
B-O-R-Z-O-I? Borzoi. I have to look that one up. I'm not sure what it is. Number 4. The Chow Chow.
Chow Chow. You gotta be a little dog too.
Is it small?
I would think so. With the name
Chow
Chow.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Okay. Number 3. Well, this one I know, and lots of people have this little guy, the bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
Bulldog. I always thought, well, they're
it's one of the smashed in face, isn't it?
It's like they're pressing themselves up against the window pane when they're looking at you.
Nasty looking dogs.
You don't like them?
No, they're always drooling and
They are a little bit. Poor thing. Hey, that's pretty good.
No.
All right. Number 2. How about the, I guess it's pronounced, is it the Basenji? B-A-S-E-N-J-I? Or, no, Basenji.
Basenji,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The Basenji. You know what they look like?
Uh-uh.
Are they big?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm not sure exactly what they look like. All right, Ed, we got some time here, so you can really think about it. What do you think's the dumbest dog?
Let's see.
By the way, the dog that just barked kind of sounds like number 1.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I think it does. It's got a deep voice. I think.
I know it's going to piss off Lola, but that's maybe a Great Dane or something. I don't know. But I don't think they're dumb. I mean,
Well, then why would you say number 1?
Because, well, I don't know. That kind of
By the way,
like,
Lola, our dear station owner, loves
but
dogs.
But that sounded like
she loves dogs, and
that
she's
sounded like a Great Dane.
Now it sounds like a little bit like a Great Dane. It's the Afghan Hound.
Oh boy,
the Afghan Hound. They're a big dog.
Yeah, people pay big money for them. Not a good move if they're stupid.
Apparently, they are. You know what we're going to do the next time? We'll do the smartest dogs and see how much we know about that one. Anyway, thank you so very much. So good to be back, everybody. I hope all of you maintain safety. And at the same time, remember, freedom works.
She's simply awesome. She touched by me in painted on jeans.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.